This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Race Again. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. In this Discovering Your Life Purpose series, for the past two sessions, we've covered one, awareness of life roles, and two, awareness of talents. And for today, the focus is on awareness of distractions. And the trouble for most of us is not an issue of underachievement. Rather, it is overachievement because we are trained since young to be balanced and holistic. So we know a little bit of everything, leading to a situation whereby we are a Jack or Jill of all trades, but master of none. Patrick Morley's definition of failure: succeeding in things that do not matter. It's a poignant reminder that being busy and ambitious may not necessarily indicate a life of meaning and purpose. So we're going to cover the myths of ambitions here together with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Welcome again, Joseph. And it's always interesting about our simple but very deep sessions that get me thinking until very long. Now, here we talk about discovering your life purpose in the first one. Would discovering your life purpose in the way make you less ambitious? And isn't the drive of ambition important for progress?
First of all, Frida, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Just taking a step back, if you recall when you were about maybe 7, 8, or 9 years old, your teacher would ask you to pen this essay called Chitta Chitta Saya, My Ambition. What was your ambition during that time?
I was very silly. I said I wanted to be a doctor just like everybody else. But then, you know, reality caught on.
Ambition brings along with it a certain sense of energy and certain sense of drive. But unfortunately, our sense of ambition, Frida, is driven by images of popularity, by what we see around us, you know. And one of the catchphrases of ambition, which I want to debunk as a myth in our pursuit of life purpose, is this. There's this statement going around saying that you can be anything you want to be as long as you put your mind to it.
Right.
You can be anything you want to be, Frida, as long as you put your mind to it.
Which I know it sounds really good, but obviously we have, you know, it's not true in the sense that I can never be a basketball player.
Yeah.
That's the reality my height.
That's right.
You know, but it sounds... there's an energy to that statement as well.
Yeah.
Right? But that's interesting myth there.
And part of the reason why we need to go deep in our conversation, Frida, is that there is really no such thing as unlimited potential. Just this past weekend, I spent about 6 hours with a group of 7 teenagers just helping them to realize that you don't have unlimited potential.
Wow.
But what we went through is a series of assessments to help them find clues and glimpses of excellence that they have demonstrated along the way so that before they decide on their ambition in life, which is likened to the engine of a car, they should get their map ready, they should get their steering wheel ready, so that with all their youthful energy, they have a map and they have a steering wheel to guide them. And the reason why our past few sessions have been quite deep is because we need to investigate into the past. Because from what I gather, a lot of the life purpose and calling for individuals, clues of it are already evident when they are teenagers.
Yeah.
So if you're a little bit confused as an adult, think back to your life as a teenager. It contains clues to where what your calling should be.
For example, like for you?
For me?
Throw it back to you. For you, what were the clues?
Before we talk about me, let me talk about someone else. Let me go with my script at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at people like Michael Dell, people like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, their glimpse and seeds of excellence were so great that even college and university could not contain them. And they ended up dropping out. Dropping out of that to pursue what is their calling, you know. For me, although I graduated as an engineer, And right now, I'm operating a training and consulting business. When I meet up with my old friends and letting them know what I do today, most of them don't think that it's a surprise.
Okay.
Because during my growing up years, I was involved in youth groups.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving talks. I was giving presentation. I was doing facilitation and so on and so forth. Except that along the way, you know...
Society.
Society's expectations and sometimes the expectations of a stable career stepped in. So what happened? Instead of listening to my inner voice, I ended up being an engineer.
You see, that's the thing as well, right? In not knowing better, you probably did well in all your subjects. So it's like, isn't that just the path for you? Engineering, because you were good in your maths and physics and all that, isn't that just a natural direction?
And that's the regrettable thing about our growing up years, because we tend to live our lives according to the expectations of others and to play safe, you know. So taking the safe combination of subjects, taking the safe career path. But we really need someone to come alongside and help us to think about the areas that we should really focus on.
Okay, now with the escalating cost of living, price of petrol went up, and rising job expectations, doesn't pragmatism triumph over purposefulness as well?
Well, pragmatism do have a part to play. I mean, if you look at it, we live in a physical world. We need to eat, we need to live. So
live in the flesh.
Yeah, that's right. So there is the practical part of living as well. But we must remind ourselves that as a human being, there's more than just a body. We are a body with a soul. We are a body with a soul. And what happens is that if we keep pursuing and going along the lines of our ambition that is not in line with our purpose, the gap between our body and soul widens as the day goes by. And you will find that there is going to be a widening occurrence of incoherency in your life. Your body is at work, but your spirit and soul is somewhere else. And you're always turning up for work physically, but you are switched off.
Lights on, no one's in.
You are disengaged. And I think this manifests itself in the declining emotional health, in stress, and so on. So we just need to take time to recollect.
Okay.
To recollect, yeah.
You know, I one of the things about, you know, we still have to bring up this discussion if there is really balance between life and work. And we'll talk about that right after this. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. It's Race Again, BFM 89.9. It's Race Again. Good morning. Frida Liu here. Discovering Your Life Purpose is our series. Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting here with me. This is our session 3 on the myths of ambitions. We've covered the awareness of life roles and the awareness of talents and now the awareness of distractions. You know, and this is something that people always want to know about, this work-life balance, right? Can they really be balanced between life and work, or is this a constant tension we just have to live with?
I would like to introduce a new mindset here when it comes to work-life balance. I like to encourage everyone to be narrow-minded.
Okay.
I mean, you must be narrow-minded as far as your life purpose is concerned. You know why, Frida? Or else we'll fall into the trap of playing the accumulation game, because most people want to be, okay, I want to be a good employee and a good father and a good husband and a good community contributor and a good golf player, you know, and a sociable person. And we just keep adding into our lives. But the fact of the matter is, as we go on in life, life is not a series of ands. Life is a series of ors, O-R. It's either this or this. It's either this or this. And if we number our days, you will find that our need to focus on the ors is much more important than the and. Don't keep on adding to your life. So if we have this mindset, then work-life balance is not about juggling as many balls as you can. Work-life balance is about choosing the balls before you even juggle.
Okay, you know, last week we were talking about calling versus career, and that was something as well. People always think sometimes the calling is, I'll be a missionary, or I give up my job and then I'll do something for charity. And sometimes the calling, and people don't glamorize that the calling could be you are exactly where you are. You could be an accountant, you could be an engineer, and you are called in these places as well. And if you can come to terms with that and not look around of people's expectations or your, you know, outside experience, outside perception of success, then you're probably a lot more aligned with what you're doing too.
Well, when we talk about calling, it must be confirmed by two factors, Frida. For example, Sir Edmund Hillary didn't just feel called to climb Mount Everest. He woke up one day after a cup of latte and said, I got nothing better to do with my life. I'm going to climb Mount Everest. The thing is, if you have followed his life, he has been climbing a lot of small peaks along the way. He loved great outdoors. So when he actually finally conquered Mount Everest, it was no surprise to anyone that was his calling. So in the case of someone who gives up his job and to go and focus on helping the poor and so on, if all this life he has been living a life that has got no glimpse of what he's going to do, I don't think he will probably have enough energy to last, because there must be some glimpses of excellence in what you do before your calling is confirmed. And the other way, the other thing is that your calling cannot be crystallized by just I, me, and myself. Other people must confirm that, Frida, you have the gift. What you do made an impact in my life, and I can see this being exhibited in what you do. And or else you end up being, you know, you've been to those programs like American Idol and Britain's Got Talent, and when they go for the audition, you know.
My family thinks I'm great.
My family thinks I'm great, you know. So
they have glimpses.
So please do not confirm your calling in isolation. You still need the multitude input of wise counselors.
Okay, this is the myths of ambition and the awareness of distractions. What are the distractions we need to beware of so that our ambitions do not derail us from our purpose?
Number one distraction, Frida, is materialism. Materialism. Because the physical world, it's right before us. It's what we see with our own eyes, and it's very distracting. It's very distracting because you will find that at the end of the day, what really matters, what people put on their tombstone, are not a list of possessions or achievements that they have. It all goes back into the quality of relationships and the impact that you make and the legacy that you make behind. And yet, the physical world around us is so distracting. My neighbor's possessions, what my friends have and what I don't have, it's very distracting. So we need to remind ourselves every day that though we live in a material world, we must not be given in to materialism. And one of the sure signs that materialism have gained an upper hand in our lives is when there's an increasing occurrence of addictions. Because addiction, it's a poor compensation for weak relationships. If you think about it, people don't fall into addictions. They don't stumble into addictions. They may play a little bit of video games. They may drink a little bit
Facebook.
Here and there.
Okay.
Yeah. Why do they do it? It is because of weak relationships. You see, they have neglected relationships around them. And yet we are designed and wired for relationships. So what do? We look for poor substitutes.
Right.
You know, video games, virtual world, and the likes of it. But if you have a person who is engaged in life, quality relationships, doing what really energizes them, I tell you, you got no time for video games, you got no time for addictions, because you're engaged. So the opposite of engagement is addiction.
Materialism.
Something to think about.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you are a materialistic person and you have a lot of addictions in your life, please take heed. You probably don't have purpose as well.
Okay. So you're saying the distractions, that's materialism.
Yeah.
Okay. Others?
Well, materialism is one of them. The other one is linked with it, and that is greed.
Okay.
Yeah, greed, where there is accumulation of status symbols, accumulation of things that feeds into your self-esteem. But at the end of the day, it perpetually drags you down. Because as I've said earlier, the thing that defines your calling and purpose in life is non-material. So, you know, if greed and discontentment will work against your life purpose and calling.
Okay.
And so that will lead into what we want to talk about the following session,
right,
which is entitled, It's Not About You.
Okay. No wonder you left it to the last.
That's right, yeah.
It's not about me.
The cliffhanger.
Okay, Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting in our Discovering Your Life Purpose series next week. It's not about you, but stay tuned for that. Raise your game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.